الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا، إنه هو السميع البصير. وقال تعالى: واستعينوا بالصبر والصلاة وإنها لكبيرة إلا على الخاشعين الذين يظنون أنهم ملاقو ربهم وأنهم إليه راجعون. وقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم: إذا صليت فصل صلاة مودع. آمنت بالله، صدق الله مولانا العظيم وصدق رسوله النبي الكريم، ونحن على ذلك لمن الشاهدين والشاكرين، والحمد لله رب العالمين. Respected and honorable ulama ikram, elders and brothers, young friends in Islam, and sisters who may be listening over the receivers, assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. All praise and glory be to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has gathered us today to discuss some aspects regarding a particular night in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the purpose and objective of discussing that is to increase our knowledge with regards to the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is maqsood and objective. It is to learn about the Mubarak life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is to take the lessons from the various incidents that occurred during that particular night and adhere to them and implement them and imbibe them and make them very much part of our lives. Peace and salutations be upon the slave of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, our Habib and Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This deen which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, it is a deen that goes beyond the fulfillment of certain rituals or the observing of certain nights. Ye deen rasmi karwaiyon se balatar hai. It goes beyond all of that. This deen which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed us with, it is very much a deen of practicing, it is very much a deen of implementation, imbibing. Therefore, many a times, when Nabi alayhi salatu was salam was asked about things that did not concern, then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam diverted the attention of the sahaba to that which was important. Mata sa'a, when is Qiyamah going to come? Nabi alayhi salatu was salam said, ماذا أعددت لها? What did you prepare for it? When Qiyamah is going to come is not. So, these discussions that we have to go beyond just the observing of a certain night and discussing certain things that happened. It has to move on towards implementation and practice. And that is when there is going to be an effect in our lives. Hazrat Qaja Aziz ul Hasan Majzoob rahmatullah alayhi used to say very often that kamyabi to kaam se banti hai. Success is acquired through actions. Na ke husne kalam se banti hai. It is not acquired by delivering a wonderful speech or attending a good bayan. Success is not acquired like by that. Zikr ke iltizam se banti hai, fikr ke ihtimam se banti hai. Success is acquired by constantly being concerned about being in the obedience of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Nevertheless, on this particular night of Mi'raj, which was a very, very great night, the night on which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was taken on this celestial journey, on this journey from Masjidul Haram to Masjidul Aqsa, and then from there to the heaven, seven heavens, and to Sidratul Muntaha, and he had a face-to-face meeting with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and things were discussed. فَأَوْحَى إِلَىٰ عَبْدِهِ مَا أَوْحَى. So that particular night on which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went was indeed a very, very big night. It was what we term as a big night. It was a great night. But just so that there is no misconception, so that we have the right aqidah and the right belief, which is very, very important, that night did not happen thereafter every year. It happened once in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and that night was a very, very great night. The second point is, so when that night was a very great night, and subsequent nights, in fact there is a lot of ikhtilaf and difference of opinion as to when exactly that took place. Some ulama, and there are 8 or 9, it's a great honor to read these also. I read them. It was the sunnat of Maulana Yunus Patel Sahab also to be stopped in the bayan. So ND 665342, a silver polo, and ND 806099, a white polo. 665342 and 806099. So the night on which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam went on Mi'raj was a very, very great night. But subsequent to that, those were not what we would term as nights of virtue. There is no specific ibadat which is directed towards us that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said we must do this or engage in extra ibadat, as is in the night of Qadr, in the odd nights of the nights of Ramadan, the last 10 nights, or as is in the night of the 15th of Sha'ban, regarding which certain specific virtues have been mentioned. The night on which Mi'raj took place, that was a big night, but subsequent to that, it gives us an opportunity to remember that great and significant journey of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But there are no specific ibadat that are directed towards us in any authentic hadith or any hadith in which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to us that we must fast the following day. In fact, I was mentioning that there is a lot of difference as to which particular night it actually took place even. Some say that it didn't even take place in the month of Rajab. And some say it took place at other times during the month of Rajab. Although the more famous opinion, the more well-known view is that it took place on the 27th night of Rajab. Be that as it may, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions in the Holy Quran, سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَسْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى. Glory be to that being. Pure is that being, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who caused his servant. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spoke to and about Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as his servant. Because you cannot get a higher status in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than being the servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That is the greatest maqam a human being can ever reach, and perhaps that is the very first lesson that me and you need to take. That when we all are servants of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what gives us the right then to question the actions or to question the condition in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put us in. Jis haal mein bhi wo rakhte hamein, us haal ko akmal dekha hai. Jis raah se wo le jaate hai, us raah ko ashal dekha hai. The condition in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept us in is the best condition for us. And we as servants, we have no right to question the volition, the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It reminds me of one incident in the life of, if I'm not mistaken, Hazrat Hasan Basri rahmatullah alayhi. He went one day and he bought a slave from the marketplace, and slavery was in vogue in those days. So he bought a slave from the marketplace and he brought that slave home, and he asked the slave that, what is your preferred thing to eat? So he said to him, or at least the first thing he said, well, he asked him was, what is your name? And he said to him that a slave has got no name. Whatever name the master calls him by is his name. And he asked him, what do you prefer to eat? And he said, a slave has got no choice or preference of food. Whatever the master feeds him is whatever he will have to eat. And he said to him that, what do you prefer to wear? So the slave said to him, a slave has got no preference in regards to what clothing to wear. Whatever the master gives him to wear, he has to wear that. So the saint, he immediately freed the slave. The slave was shocked. He said that, I haven't even started serving you and you are freeing me. You paid so much for me in the marketplace. So he said, because you have taught me what it is to be the slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As slaves of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we need to be pleased. Raditu billahi rabba wa bil islami deena wa bi muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam rasoola. We need to be pleased with the condition in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept us in. Nevertheless, this is the highest maqam, the highest level, status a person can ever reach, and that is to be the slave and the true slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So glory be to that being who took his slave in a portion of the night from Masjidul Haram to Masjidul Aqsa. And Masjidul Aqsa is a place around which we put a lot of blessings and virtue. Alladhi barakna hawlahu linuriyahu min ayatina. So that we could show him from our signs. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam has related in various ahadith the things that he saw during that night and during that journey, and that we will discuss perhaps some of them. There's no way you can discuss all of them, but the idea is to whet the appetite a little and to start reading the seerat of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam and these incidents that took place in his Mubarak life, even on our own at home. So, لِنُرِيَهُ مِنْ آيَاتِنَا إِنَّهُ هُوَ السَّمِيعُ الْبَصِيرُ. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all hearing and all seeing. So this part of the journey is mentioned in the Holy Quran, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Masjidul Haram, from the Hatim of Masjidul Haram, he took him to Masjidul Aqsa. And this part of the journey is known as Isra. The other part of the journey is mentioned in authentic ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam from Masjidul Aqsa to the heavens, to the first heaven, second heaven, and beyond the seventh heaven even, and there was conversation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and perhaps we will get a chance to discuss some of that also in tonight's little discussion. Nevertheless, on this Mubarak night, between the times of Isha and Fajr, Nabi alayhi salatu was salam was resting in the house of Umm Hani radiallahu ta'ala anha, and the roof split open. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu was salam, he came in from the roof with a group of angels, and he got Nabi alayhi salatu was salam up, and he took Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to the Masjidul Haram, which was much smaller than it is nowadays. He took him to the Hatim. It was very much part of the Kaaba, the closed, that horseshoe type area. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, being in a state of sleep, he dozed off again in the Hatim. So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, he got Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam up, And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that they took me close to the Zamzam well. My chest was cut open. It was split. My heart was taken out. And there was a dish of gold in which there was Zamzam water. And my heart was washed with that. And it was filled with iman and hikmat. My heart was filled with iman and hikmat. And that iman and hikmat that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam had is the iman and hikmat that he passed on to his ummah as well. That is the very same iman and hikmat that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam passed down to his ummah. And therefore we need to learn in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam how he handled situations. Look at the hikmat, look at the wisdom that there was in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. How he engaged in tabligh and da'wat. How Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam related with the rich. How he engaged with the poor. How Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam dealt with his wives, with his children, with his daughters. How Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam managed all these types of relationships is very much part of the hikmat that we need to learn from the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Nevertheless, then Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, there was an animal that Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam brought. It was bigger than a donkey and smaller than a mule, called the Buraq. And I was made to sit on that Buraq. And in some narrations it was that Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam sat behind Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam. And in other narrations was that he accompanied Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And on that occasion, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said that the journey began. And we passed by a place where there were a lot of date palms. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam told me to get off that animal and to perform two rakats of salah. And then Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam asked me, do you know where you performed the salah? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, no. He said that you performed the two rakats of salah in the place where you are going to migrate in Yathrib and Medina. So Medina Munawwara, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam performed those two rakats of salah. Then the journey goes on and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam then says, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam told me to get off and he said I must perform two rakats of salah here. And that was actually the place where Musa alayhi salatu wasalam spoke to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Tur Sina, in the valley of Sina. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam performed salah over there. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam performed salah. Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam asked him to descend from the animal, to alight, to get off the animal and to perform two rakats of salah in Madian, where Hazrat Shuaib alayhi salatu wasalam was sent to his people. And they went on further until they came to Baytul Laham, which is now known as Bethlehem. And Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam also performed salah, two rakats of salah in Bethlehem. Nevertheless, during the journey, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saw a number of instances. On one occasion, whilst they were traveling, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says that an old woman tried to grab hold of my attention. And she called out to me. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said that do not give her any attention, move on. Don't respond to her, don't turn to her. So we moved on. And then, after a little while, there was an old man who tried to gain my attention. And Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said, do not turn towards him, move on. So we moved on. And after a short while, a group of people said, As-salamu alayka ya awwal, as-salamu alayka ya akhir, as-salamu alayka ya hashir. They greeted Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam in this manner. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam told Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam that to respond to their greeting. And he told them that these were Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, Hazrat Musa alayhi salam, and Hazrat Isa alayhi salam that greeted you in this particular manner. Then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, we moved on, and I saw people with long fingernails. And they were scratching their faces and their chests open and it was bleeding. This is how they were behaving. They were scratching their, their faces and their nails. And I asked Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, it was a most horrific sight to lay your eyes on. So Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said that these are the people of your ummah who engaged in ghibat and backbiting and gossip, and they engaged in the pastime of vilifying others. And this was the condition in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw them. So now we need to take lesson from this. What is it? Did Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam just tell it to us so that we could hear it? And then we need to see how much of gossip, how much of backbiting is going on in our lives. How much of it? How much of, without verifying, forwarding of messages? I often say that don't amplify without verifying. Verify before you amplify. Before you send a message, find out if it is true. Many a times now, with regards to this particular night, so many rakats of nafil must be read, and after two rakats, this must be read in between, and this must be read, and you must fast on this day, and you forward it. So many times, we forward messages which have a hadith that are fabricated. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that whoever fabricates a hadith against me, that I said these words whereas I hadn't, then فَلْيَتَبَوَّأْ مَقْعَدَهُ مِنَ النَّارِ, he must prepare his place in the fire of Jahannam. Now can you imagine what a serious matter it is? Sometimes we feel that we are getting a lot of sawab in doing this, but we might be forwarding something that is not authentic, that is not verified. So we have to be careful in that regard. Nevertheless, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that he saw the sight with regards to these people who were scratching open the skin on their faces and chests, and the blood was oozing out from their bodies. And the reason for this was that they were engaged in ghibat and vilifying others, taking out faults in others, speaking bad and evil about others. How many a times doesn't it happen? It goes towards our akhlaq also. How many times doesn't it happen that we speak to a person in a harsh manner just because we have a degree of authority over him? He's our employee, or he's our student, or we have a degree, a level of authority over that person, and we feel we can address him as we wish. Brothers, Fir'aun and Harun, Musa and Harun alayhim as-salatu was-salam were sent to Fir'aun. We are not greater da'is, and sometimes we might be telling the person the right thing even. But how we go about telling that person is very, very important. We are asked to address people with softness, with kindness. Musa and Harun alayhi salam are going to Fir'aun. Fir'aun who said, أَنَا رَبُّكُمُ الْأَعْلَى, I am your Lord Supreme. This Fir'aun, who slaughtered the boys alive and he let the women live. This Fir'aun. And these two brothers, Musa and Harun alayhi salatu wasalam, are going there. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them, اِذْهَبَا إِلَى فِرْعَوْنِ إِنَّهُ طَغَى. You two go to Fir'aun. He has transgressed the bounds. But when you go to him, فَقُولَا لَهُ قَوْلَ اللَّيِّنَا, when you speak to him, speak with softness. Speak with hikmat and wisdom. Don't be harsh and hard-hearted. Don't vilify. Don't take out faults. You don't have to do all of, قُولَا لَهُمْ قَوْلَ اللَّيِّنَا لَعَلَّهُ يَتَذَكَّرُ أَوْ يَخْشَى, perhaps he will take some sort of lesson. Fir'aun was, all of our enemies, I don't think can be worse than Fir'aun. And we are not better than Musa and Harun alayhi salatu wasalam. So how should we be speaking to people? These are the lessons that we need to learn from Mi'raj. Nevertheless, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam moves on. And he says that I saw people, or a person who was swimming in a little pond, and he was consuming pebbles and stones, something that cannot be digested. He's consuming that and he's eating it up and he's filling himself up with all of that. So I said, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, what is this? He said, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, this is the person from your ummah who consumes and takes riba and interest. Who takes riba and interest. Who engages in interest-bearing transactions. How many a times doesn't it happen that we get a phone call and we say that, Maulana, you know what? I don't mind, I'll answer for it on the day of Qiyamah, but he must pay my interest now. Can we make such, where is our iman gone when statements like that are uttered from our tongues? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said, a time will come close on to Qiyamah, كَأَصْبَحَ الرَّجُلُ مُؤْمِنًا وَيُمْسِي كَافِرًا. A person will start the morning off as a believer, by the time the evening comes, he's bereft of iman. And he'll start the evening off as a believer, by the time the morning comes, he's bereft of iman. Because of these types of statements that snatch away, that take away our very iman and belief. Kaisa ye inqilab hai, dekh kar dil kabab hai. Kehte ke ab sawab hai, sood mein aur qimar mein. I remember Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel Sahib Rahmatullah Alayhi, he used to recite this verse of poetry now and again. And he used to say that, look at how things have changed. That now they are actually saying that there is sawab and virtue in lottos, in gambling, in interest-bearing transactions. This deen that Nabi Ali Salatu Wasalam has blessed us with, it is not a deen that does not guide us with regards to our commercial activities. It very much guides us with regards to our commercial activities. In fact, if you have to study the books of jurisprudence, then there's a book that we study in the Alim course, and the ulama can bear testimony to me, the Hidayah. It's a book of Islamic jurisprudence. It's made up of 4 volumes. Only one volume deals with our salah, zakat, wuzu, hajj, zakat. One volume. The other 3 volumes deal with our social relationships, with our marriage and talaq, and it deals with our commercial activities. It deals with all of these things. So there is great amount of hikmat and wisdom. It is not sufficient that we have on every dollar bill, in God we trust. But when it comes to earning and spending those dollars, then we hardly consult in the rules of that God whom we claim we trust in. Interest, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ آكِلَ الرِّبَى وَمُوكِلَ الرِّبَى وَمُوكِلَهُ وَكَاتِبَهُ وَشَاهِدَيْهِ. May the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be upon the one who takes it, interest, the one who gives interest, the one who writes down the interest-bearing transaction, and the one who signs as a witness to that transaction. So how is it possible for us to take this lightly? When Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was telling us this, that he saw this in the light of Mi'raj, he is telling us that whereas this was quite before interest was even prohibited. It was in the days of Makkah, or perhaps around that time. But the firm injunctions of interest were revealed right in the 9th year of Hijrah, prohibiting it in totality, completely. And Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam made announcements to that effect. So we have to watch our commercial transactions. That is the lesson to learn from this particular part of the Mi'raj. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam in one hadith, he said that our feet will not move on the day of Qiyamah until we are asked 5 questions. And 2 out of those 5 questions, 2 out of 5 is how many percent? 40%. 40% of the questions that you will be asked on the day of Qiyamah before your feet can move are with regards to your commercial transactions. An malihi min ayn iktasab wa fima anfaq. You're going to be asked about your wealth, about your commercial dealings, about your economic activity, about your wealth. Where did you earn it and how did you spend it? And many a times, if you have to speak to the ummah today, that brother, you are selling this particular thing, it's objectionable. They said, this is my business. This is my business. As though business is divorced from deen and religion. That is not the case in Islam. business is very much part of our deen and religion. So nevertheless, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he went on and he says that I saw a group of people whose heads were being crushed by boulders. A group of people whose heads were being crushed by boulders. And after they were crushed, they would return to that very same shape. And then they would be crushed again by that boulder. Can you imagine? Recently, now they had those incidents on the highway where people were throwing boulders from the top. And how gruesome it is for a person to be killed in that particular manner. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, those who passed away in that particular manner from amongst the community, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grant them Jannatul Firdaus. But it's a very difficult thing. So Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam saw this happening and it was going on endlessly. It was going on endlessly. So he asked Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, what is this? Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that these are the people from your ummah who are lax with regards to their farz salah. Who are lax with regards to their farz salah. They are indifferent. ND90174, BW Polo. ND90174. The Ummat, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam said that in some ahadith that the difference between a believer and a non-believer, the gist of the hadith, is that a believer performs salah and a disbeliever doesn't. In the time of Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, even the munafiqeen, the hypocrites, would dare miss a salah, lest people come to know that they are hypocrites. He said in a hadith, "As-salatu imaduddin, man aqamaha faqad aqamaddin, wa man hadamaha faqad hadamaddin." Salah is a pillar of deen. Whoever who upholds salah, he has upheld deen. He establishes salah, he has established deen. And the person who doesn't establish salah, he destroys salah, he has destroyed deen. And there are different ways of destroying our salah. The basic way of destroying salah is that we don't even perform it at all. We don't even perform our salah at all. At least, brothers, if we can take this message home tonight, because it was on this occasion that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was even given the gift of salah. If we can just make a firm resolve that we are going to perform our 5 daily salahs on time for the menfolk in the masjid with jamaat. If we can do that much, then we have taken a great lesson from the night of Mi'raj. Hazrat Maulana Yunus Patel sahab rahmatullah alayhi, he used to say very often that many people speak about the rise of Islam, but they fail to rise before sunrise for the Fajr Salah, then how is Islam going to rise? How is Islam then going to rise? A Muslim is not one who sets his alarm to go off after sunrise. We should set our alarm to go off before that. After that, Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam himself on one occasion, he fell off to sleep, but it was to teach the ummah the rules of qaza salah. But we don't plan. We do everything in our control to get up early and perform our salah. Many of the other schools of Islamic jurisprudence even say that man taraka salata muta'ammidan faqad kafar. A person who leaves out, and it's a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that whoever leaves out one salah without a valid reason, intentionally, then he has committed kufr and disbelief, he's out of the pale of Islam even. Can you imagine? And the other schools of Islamic jurisprudence uphold that. In other words, then his nikah breaks and everything. It was Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi who gave the interpretation of this hadith to mean that he has committed an act of kufr, but it's actually not kufr. It can lead him to kufr. That was the interpretation that he gave. So, let us not play with salah. it's a differentiating factor of a believer. The other way of destroying our salah is by having no concern. There is no concentration, no dedication in how we are performing our salah and how we are communicating with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We haven't learned the laws of salah. So many people come to the masjid and they take the trouble of coming to the masjid and they perform salah like this without saying Allahu Akbar in the beginning. Without saying that. You don't have to say it loud, but you have to say it so that you yourself can listen to it at least. This is called takbir-e-tahreema, the first takbir of salah. And it is from amongst the necessary aspects, the fara'id, the fard of salah. It's obligatory to do that. If you don't say that Allahu Akbar aloud, then your salah is not valid. So we came all the way to the masjid, we took the trouble, but because we don't know the laws, so we just did this. Our salah is not valid. So we destroyed our salah. Many a times, we just perform our salah in a haphazard manner. Because we just left the Premier League match during half time to come and quickly make our salah and go back. So we worried about where the match is right now. So let us give due importance to salah. It's very, very important. It's the lifeline of a believer. It's our weapon against our enemies. This salah is an occasion to communicate with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Nabi alayhi salatu wa salam says he went on and he saw that there were a group of people who were gathered and there were two pots of food. One in which there was good food, good meat being prepared and it had a wonderful aroma. And then there was another pot of food that was being prepared or had a stench emanating from it and it was raw food, raw meat inside it. And these people were all eating the raw meat and they were keeping away from the good and aromatic food that was there. The delicious and scrumptious food that was there. They left that out and they were going and eating this raw sort of meat. So Rasulullah, Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam said that these are the people of your ummah who despite having halal and permissible spouses with whom they can spend their lives, they spend their time with haram and illicit beloveds of theirs in illicit relationships. Now we all need to look into our lives and see where our time is spent. I can go into dozens of incidents of the community because people divulge them. They want to solve their problems. They tell us about these sort of instances. But wherever you look,
میں بتاؤں کہ دنیا میں کیا شے ملی کوئی مجنوں ملا کوئی لیلا ملی.
Wherever you look around, it's only Romeos and Juliets. Someone is just, love is in the air. So love should be in the air, but with our spouses. Islam teaches us love, but it's with our spouses. I often even very much disagree with the jokes and the humor. Like that, those who know me, I like to be humorous and laugh and joke. But I disagree with certain types of humor. And one of the humors that I disagree with is the humor about the husband against his wife and wife against the husband, because that is not the Islamic type of cracking jokes about the wife many a times, because it belittles them, whereas the Sharia has kept them at a very high status. So with regards to this particular lesson of Mi'raj, the lesson is that we need to save ourselves from infidelity. And the way we are going to do that is to guard our eyes and protect our chastities. Protect our eyes. Do not engage in unnecessary viewing of the internet. Do not go to unnecessary... We haven't been sent here just for entertainment, for pleasure. Our lives, I remember when we were in school, we did one, they taught us what an epitaph was, something that they write on the tombstone of a person. So they had an example in the English class. Here lies Fred, he was alive and now he's dead, and there's nothing more to be said. So they wrote on his tombstone, here lies Fred, he was alive and now he's dead, and there's nothing more to be said. So we also had a nice laugh as senior primary students or high school students. But later on in life did we realize that the life of a Muslim must not be like the life of Fred. He doesn't just live and die and that's the end of it. He comes here to create a legacy, to fulfill, to practice upon the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hafiz Riyaz recited in the Salah, لَقَدْ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنَةٌ. There is a perfect example in the life of Nabi alayhi salatu was salam that we need to implement and inculcate. Nevertheless, it's been a long day. We've already heard one Jummah Bayan also. I don't want to give an overdose. Everything has to be balanced and i'tidal. But there's no way we can go through this journey of Mi'raj. Although Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam went through the whole journey in a portion of the night, if we have to discuss everything that happened, it may take us some time. But the idea was, even if we draw a few lessons from the aspects that were discussed tonight, then inshallah, and we must work towards this in preparation for the month of Ramadan. In preparation, bahar taqwa ki aa gayi hai, bahar taqwa ki aa gayi hai. This time of Ramadan that is coming, it is like the spring of taqwa. Bahar taqwa ki aa gayi hai, gunah ka mausam guzar chuka hai. The time of sinning and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is gone. We must never ever become despondent, never feel that we've gone too far, we've committed sins that can't be forgiven. There's no such thing. One of the things that Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was blessed with, of the three gifts, and I'll just terminate on that. Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam was blessed with three gifts on the day of Mi'raj, on the night of Mi'raj. One of the gifts were, the first gift was salah, of course. The second gift was the last verses of Surah Baqarah, لا يكلف الله نفسا إلا وسعها, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created a lot of ease for this ummah. He mentioned a lot of virtues of the ummah. And the third thing that was given to this ummah was that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not punish a member of this ummah forever so long as he does not commit shirk. So the doors of the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are open for us. Let us use this time from now. We have about a month and 3 days until the month of Ramadan comes. And that is the time where we need to multiply, make our investments for the hereafter. So let us use this to develop these qualities. Improve on our salah. Improve our commercial dealings and transactions. Rid ourselves of unnecessary gossip and ghibat and backbiting. And all of these things which Nabi alayhi salatu wasalam, if we have illicit relationships, then destroy them. It's not easy. It's not easy to delete those numbers, to break those contacts, to cut off ties. But that is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants of us in terms of these illicit relationships. And it takes a man to do that. It takes a slave of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do that. Let us make these resolutions within ourselves. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the tawfiq of amal. وآخر دعوانا أن الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. Oh our beloved Allah, our Rahim, Allah, our Kareem, Allah, most kind, most forgiving, most compassionate Allah. Forgive each and every one of us. Ya Allah, forgive the sins that we committed in the light of day or darknesses of nights. Ya Allah, forgive the sins that we committed knowingly and unknowingly. Ya Allah, open the doors of mercy for us. Ya Allah, grant us the tawfiq to improve our salah, to perform salah before you 5 times a day. Ya Allah, to do it in a manner that is pleasing to you. Protect us from being amongst those who destroy this salah, O my beloved Allah. Protect us from the sins which Nabi alayhi salatu was salam mentioned in these ahadith and from all other sins. Make us from amongst those servants of yours, Ya Allah, who are extremely obedient to you. Ya Allah, you make us yours and become ours. Ya Allah, you make us yours and you become ours, O my beloved Allah. Ya Allah, remove the problems, the difficulties, the calamities that the ummah around the world is suffering with. Ya Allah, especially in Palestine, in Syria, Ya Allah, in Douma, in other places around the world, in Afghanistan. Ya Allah, sab ke mushkilat ko asan farma. Sab ki pareshaniyon ko dur farma. Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq to prepare in earnest for the holy month of Ramadan. And to make us from amongst those who fast the month and stand in qiyam. Like how you would love to see us. Allahumma barik lana fi Rajab wa Sha'ban. Allahumma ubaligna Ramadan. Wa nahnu fi sihhatin wa salamatin wa afiyatin wa sa'ati rizqin ya Rabbal Alameen. Allahumma taqabbal minna. إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم وصل اللهم وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه.